seconded by Patrick. All those in favor? Aye.
Please take notice that the Catskill Town Board, Catskill, New York, will hold a public hearing on Tuesday, April 5th, 2022, at Town Hall, 439 Main Street, Catskill, New York, at 6:15 p.m. The purpose of the public hearing will be to review proposed amendments to the town code. Proposed changes to the town code include changes to sewer, solar energy use, streets and sidewalks, subdivision, and zoning chapters. A new chapter on short-term rentals is proposed. Changes to the zoning map for Jefferson Heights is proposed. Proposed amendments are townwide and apply to all zones. The board will welcome public comment at that time and in writing. The proposed amendments are available for review on the town website, www.townofcatskillny.gov, and at the town clerk's office, 439 Main Street, Catskill, New York, 12414, by order of the Catskill Town Board. Elizabeth Izzo, town clerk.
Thank you. Please appreciate it. This will open it up for anybody has any comments, concerns, or input on the zoning changes that we have proposed. That has been posted on the Catskill webpage, as town clerk Liz Izzo and just mentioned. Before we even get into that a little bit, I really want to thank the zoning board, planning board, town board, town attorney. There was a lot of team effort to come into these changes. It was a lot of evenings. Patricia in our case Keel, she had a lot of valuable input, as did Matt Carlisle, our building and code officer in the town of Catskill. So again, it was a long process. It was probably 3 or 4 months in the making to get to tonight. So again, I just wanted to recognize the people that did most of the work in getting us to this point. So I'm just going to open up the floor with any comments that anybody may have or concerns about the proposed changes. And again, we're going to keep the public hearing open until at least 6:31, 6:32, regardless of, if we need more time, that would be permissible as well.
I have a serious question for the board.
Sure.
How come the code enforcement officer and the chairman of the planning board or zoning board are not here at the public hearing?
We didn't request their presence, and there's a couple other issues there. It's a couple of the members that you had just mentioned are not available to attend public meetings at the current time.
Then why would you have a public hearing when...
Because it was the right post.
Excuse me. Why are you having a public hearing when you don't have the parties involved, or at least initially involved, with the rewriting of the public hearing, of the notice is not available to answer questions by the public?
Well, I think we're here to... Well, you know, we're going to... The town board's here to answer any questions or concerns that the public may have.
Have you read all the changes?
Have you read every one
of those changes that are on the code?
I can't say I read every one of them, but I can tell you I read a very large amount, if not all of them, at least once or twice.
Has any other board members read all the changes?
Yes. Every email that Ted has sent?
Not every email. Every change.
Well, the change.
And these documents that, excuse me, I need to pull them up. But, and these documents, there are changes to certain sections of your code book, not just the zoning code, but other codes. And, I want to know, or I would like to know, or I'm asking, did members of the town board read those changes that are on your website, where it shows the changes in the code
in the internet
on every single one that's on your website, every single change?
The town attorney.
I'm sorry, I'm not asking about the town attorney.
No, they redlined and said.
I'm asking about the town board members.
Right, and you know, he has emailed the red line changes to all of us. We've all read.
And did you have any comments on?
We went back and forth for the last 2 months creating.
Correct. We had multiple meetings here where we made changes to some of the recommendations that came from the planning zoning board, and
we sent it back to them.
We sent it back, and they came back and made additional changes. That's correct. But again, if through anybody in the public has concerns, as you know, town board, we're willing to listen to any concerns on those changes that somebody feels, you know, are not really appropriate for the town of Catskill. We'll again take those under consideration.
When were those changes on the website posted on the website?
I have to defer that to the town clerk.
Yeah. When the notice was in the paper, so at least 2 weeks ago.
A notice was in the paper that we were going to be changing.
It was at least 10 days ago.
Okay. And on your website, where the changes are, it lists the section, but if you don't press on it, you're not going to get the section. For example, short-term rentals. If you don't hit that thing, that's not going to come up. Nobody's going to know what the changes are unless they read that. And that, obviously, in this case, is in red on the thing.
Right.
And so how would you think that somebody who went through, who has to look through 7 documents to go through and look at all the changes that were made, especially with the changes to the main subdivision regulations, which is as chapter 140. There's also chapter 155, which is your zoning laws, and there were changes to those zoning laws, and I'm wondering whether or not. I'm wondering whether or not the public had enough chances to see all those changes that were made. For example, chapter 160 with the zoning, which is our zoning code, there's lots of changes on here. There's strikeouts, there's red in here. There's changes in commercial, condominiums, cultural facilities. I'm not saying that these are not good changes. What I'm saying is individuals in the town who look at these and have to abide by them, I'm not sure if they had enough time and enough explanation by this board to make them aware of all the things that are going to be changed. And that's part of your process. That's what you're supposed to be doing. And that the zoning board and the planning board should be doing the same thing.
All the zoning and planning board meetings were open to the public. You know, they were official meetings. So anybody from the
everybody has official meetings. If you don't communicate to the public, a notice in a piece on a daily mail is like noticing, you know, one drop of water in a rainstorm. There's nothing to do. You can't tell from the daily mail. There wasn't one article that this board or the planning board issued in the Daily Mail or any other paper that was a synopsis of all the changes that you're going to make or recommended to make in the zoning law and in certain chapters in the code book. Not one. You didn't do anything. Now, I'm not saying that the changes aren't correct. What I'm saying is you, as a board, as a communicator to the public, didn't do your job. You didn't communicate anything to anybody. And the zoning changes, changes in the zoning law, in the zoning sections, changing them from RA to CF, it lists on the public notice the area that was going to be changed, but there's no explanation as to why it was being changed. There's no explanation as to anywhere those changes are going to be made. Now, I know why the changes are going to be made, because I happen to be here when you mentioned them. But the people in Jefferson Heights along those specific properties know whether they're going to be changed to commercial properties, or that district is going to be added into the commercial district. Nobody in Jefferson Heights probably is aware of that, except the owners of the property. Now, what would happen if now all of a sudden somebody wants to do something and finds out, oh, gee, you know, this changed from a residential district to a commercial district, to a general commercial district. But when did that happen? How did I not know about it?
In those particular cases that I believe you're describing in Jefferson Heights, I would assume, which I don't assume anything, but I would think most people that drive by those, because there aren't many commercial facilities in that location, that I think they feel it's already commercial when in fact it's not.
That's not, Mr. Supervisor, that is not the point. That is definitely not the point. This is a town building. I drive by it every day. If something changes, well, how am I supposed to know that? I know the town building's here, but I know when it may change.
It's been on our webpage, and we gave proper notice of the Daily Mail. The Daily Mail also did articles a week ago, possibly, about short-term rental. It was on the front.
It was
in the paper that, Ted from Catskill or the Daily Mail did an article on short-term rentals. We talked a little bit about solar. We talked a little bit about billboards.
That to me is not explaining to the people in the town of Catskill what you're actually doing with the zoning codes and why are you doing it. I know it needs to be updated.
I think the planning board talked
about doing these updates. They're positive updates. Right. What I'm talking about is this board communicating with the people in the town of Catskill about major changes to the code and to the zoning codes, not communicating to the people in the town of Catskill about these changes. Now, you see how many people are here?
Same as many as ever.
I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. Somebody's going to get upset about these changes. Some developer, some real estate developer, somebody wants to do something. It's going to go to the planning board, and they're going to say, well, geez, when were these changes made? Why were these changes made?
As an example, why I feel it was relayed to the public, I happened to get a call a month and a half ago, maybe 2 months ago, from New York State Real Estate up in Albany. They're saying, hey, what are you doing with short-term rentals? Are you limiting the days that somebody, that can rent or lease their place? So if I got a call from a lobbyist from the realtor division in New York State, somehow I think it got out there. So it isn't like, this wasn't publicized. It was public meetings. It was multiple. Jared was quoted once or twice in the Daily Mail about short-term rentals. I've been in the Daily Mail. So if I got phone calls from concerned realtors or representatives from realtor groups out of Albany, and again, we just let them know that we're doing short-term rentals to ensure the safety of people that come in and make sure that these STRs are going to be good neighbors to surrounding community, surrounding neighbors, so they can have an expectation of having their neighborhood. It wasn't about, and it's still not about, restricting them that you can only rent your short-term rental out for so many days per year. So I'm here to say that I feel it's been out in the public. Unfortunately, I'd rather see 20 people, 30 people here. But I know the message got out because, again, I wouldn't have fielded phone calls from people out of Albany if it was, not known.
People from Albany don't live in the town of Catskill.
But they represent our real estate.
Not necessarily.
I can't assume it or think or let you know what other people feel about it.
I can't assume that Albany represents anybody in the town of Catskill except maybe some realtors, but you have people who have places that have short-term rentals.
Correct.
And these changes will affect them. And they're going to come in and say, well, when were these changes made? What did you communicate to anybody?
I feel that most short-term rentals property people are aware that changes are being made in the town of Catskill. And that's just my personal opinion. I can't broadcast it more than we have. I mean, I can't drag people off of Main Street or Jersey Heights to come to a public meeting.
I understand that.
So that's where...
But you're the town supervisor, and this is a town board. Nobody's asking you to drag...
Right.
Nobody's asking you to drag anybody off the street to come to a public hearing.
Okay.
What I'm saying to you is, you need to communicate better with the people in the town of Catskill about these particular changes. You know, this is a major change to our zoning code and certain codes in our book.
Absolutely.
That haven't taken place probably in 20 years. Major changes. And you can't communicate major changes to everybody in the town of Catskill. I understand that. But you can make it an effort to communicate through the website, through articles in the paper. Why does the Daily Mail have to call you up? Why don't you call the Daily Mail up? Why don't you communicate to the realtors? Why don't you send a letter to all the realtors saying, hey, we're making major changes? Or all to the building contractors, or to people who own land. Why did you not do that? And that's what I'm saying, is that there's a lack of communication from this board to the public on these changes. And that's all I'm saying. I'm not saying they're right, the changes aren't right or wrong. And that's the reason I'm here.
Right. To go to the, getting back to the changes that we've made, and one of the things that's really about the process, it's much user-friendlier than our codes have been before. And we have a table of use, so now if a builder or a resident comes into town of Catskill, or anybody that just wants to look up what our rules and regulations are, they can go right there and say, okay, we're in this particular area, and here's the check boxes, what are we like.
That's
so
true.
It's a very...
I'm not arguing about the use of the...
I'm not arguing with you
about the changes,
okay,
and the corrections and the upgrading of the law. What I'm saying to you is, you don't have the code enforcement officer here, and you don't have the chairman of the planning board or the chairman of the zoning board here to answer questions about their discussions and their reasons, because they're the ones who recommended them to you, their reasons why they made those changes. You can't come to a public hearing and have me ask you a question if you're not on those boards. You were aware of all the changes, you met with them and discussed it, but not with every little nuance about what happened and the reason why. And that's why I'm saying, this is a shitty public hearing. You don't have the planning board here or the code enforcement officer here. That is absolutely inexcusable. And that's all I'm going to say. I'm sorry.
Hi, Margaret. Did you come about the public hearing on the zoning or changes or any of those type of things? Because we're into that for about 15 minutes. But
I'm done. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Anybody else have any comments on the zoning changes or concerns? Or would like to have any further discussion on the proposed changes?
Can it be explained exactly what's going to happen to people who have what used to be considered a boarding home, maybe, or are using it as an Airbnb?
Well, that's the short-term rentals.
Right. So their process is now that they have to go to the planning board?
No. They have to get a permit.
A permit.
And then they'll have an annual inspection.
Of their home.
Well, it's not home. It's an Airbnb.
Some people have Airbnb at home.
Well, it's their business, so they have annual inspection.
Right. If somebody has a two-story building and they have two bedrooms upstairs and they rent it out, that's an Airbnb. I mean, I only know of one of those particular situations. I'm sure there's multiple out there. It's not like everybody has a vacant house that's only there, was purchased for an investment. There's a lot of those out there as well that nobody's there. But again, it's...
And the permit will be based on?
We haven't set a fee schedule.
Permits we haven't. Again, that's up to the town board when we move forward, when we're ready to do this. We'll actually set up our own fee basis, and that's something that we haven't had that discussion with. public
hearing?
Jared, I'll second that. Liz, all those in favor?
Aye.
Those against? Motion so carried. For April 5th, our meeting is tonight. Minutes to be accepted. We got the March 1st board meeting, town board meeting, and the March 16th minutes from the board committee meetings. So I need a motion to accept those minutes. Motion by Dawn.
Second.
Second by Jared. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those against? Motion so carried. Next one we got is the highway. We got a resolution to declare highway equipment surplus. This would have an 89 Radall and an Alama hydraulic mower, maybe. I think that's the way it goes. So whereas the highway department has a 1989 Radall and an Alama hydraulic mower, it wishes to declare surplus property on an online auction. So therefore, we, the Catskill Town Board, declare the 1989 Radall and the Alama hydraulic mower as surplus property and authorize the highway supervisor auction said pieces of equipment. Need a motion?
Motion.
Motion by Jared. Seconded by Dawn. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those against? Motion carried.
Circumstance. I think we did last year.
Jack, we might have, because that's an issue. If you want to surplus, I don't know the year of that, but if we want to surplus that tonight, we can add that to that motion.
Just the same.
I don't know the year of that.
We'll just
that we can do that at the next meeting, right? Yeah. With the surplus, the
EMS. How's the difference for his truck?
Sean, please, we already did that. Right, yes.
Okay, perfect. Thank you, Liz. So under correspondence, we had a letter from the New York State Department of Public Service, public statement referring to the new area code petition from the North American Numbering Plan Administrator with current area code 845 exhausting its available numbers by 2024, will affect Columbia, Delaware, Dutchess, Green, Orange, Putnam, Rockland, Sullivan, and Ulster counties. I happened to look at the map. And it's just a little tiny, tiny little piece down in Smith's Landing between West Camp that would actually affect the town of Catskill. So it's only like, I don't have any dwellings, but it's just a sliver in there. So again, they're running out of...
Well, all four years of Smith's Landing are 845.
Are they? Yeah. Well, maybe that's the little sliver then.
Yes.
Because it was a very small piece of pie looking at the map. Green County Planning Board list of local training schedules for planning and zoning board members. And we corresponded with our zoning and planning board members and encouraging everybody to, you know, get updated on their annual training. And they're going to have some on-site training or in-person training this year between Greene County and Columbia County. Email from the town clerks certifying the petitions received on a permissive referendum on the cannabis opt-out. So that will be on the ballot come November. Thanks for doing all that hard work, Liz. I mean, it was a big challenge and a lot of data to go over, but thank you. And we also have a few employees that moved on for a resignation letter from Corley Burke, Lenny Asella, and Stanley Deshane. Continuing business, new business, maybe we got some correspondence from Mid-Hudson Cable that we're going to have to look at for a franchise renewal for renewal proposal from Mid-Hudson Cable. Again, that's for franchise. Final an engineering amendment from Delaware Engineer for the Leeds Jefferson Sewer District and a seeker negative declaration adoption of the zoning amendments.
Also,
what do you got there, Jared?
Sawyer, there's an application for fireworks at the Rivenickel Country Club. Just came in for April 23rd. I have no issue with the fireworks. I think we should just say it's okay.
Motion.
Yeah, motion on fireworks at the Country Club on April 23rd.
Got first by Jared, need a second?
Second.
Seconded by Dawn. All those in favor?
With notification to Cast Iron Events and Castle Fire.
Paleville Fire Department. Okay, sounds good. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those against? Motion so carried. Again, we still have jobs available. A couple of them might have closed. We had the part-time fire inspector's job in Catskill, part-time seasonal help at our cemetery, and we also have a full-time job in this cemetery buildings around the park.
I've only seen like one application.
I don't know. Are we going to trickle in some applications on some of those positions?
Two for the cemetery working supervisor.
Okay. And how about the proposals for the? We got to go look at. We got the proposals for the ceiling of the senior center.
What's wrong with the ceiling at the senior center?
Well, did we put a for an RFP? Did that end the RFP or not? No. For the seal coating of the driveway.
Oh, the seal coating of the driveway. Yeah. One. Just we received one. Yes. I'm sorry. I thought you meant ceiling as in the ceiling.
We need ceiling.
Yes.
Tiles.
Yes.
We need ceiling tiles.
Yes.
But
sorry.
This is for,
yes, we received. Black we received. Ceiling. We received one.
Not the
yes.
That includes striping also, right? The quote.
I don't know if you want to do this.
What kind of number we're going to get at. Just email it.
Okay.
Because if we only got one, we might want to reach out a little bit further to get a little more competition in there to see if we're good. Okay, what else? Got anything else? I got one, I interviewed one individual for the cemetery position. I liked him a lot, and he's on vacation right now. So at their next meeting, I'm going to be through the application, so I'd like to make a motion to bring this individual on. And again, if anybody knows of any other person or people looking for additional summer work, I'm not to leave that open as another plus 5 months ago. Okay, anything else? Margaret, any concerns or things you'd like to
talk about?
Just here to observe. Just here to observe. There you go. Any updates on rec program going at this point, or are we kind of...
Well, there was a meeting on Monday that I actually reminded everybody about, but I wasn't able to go because I hadn't had a meeting for my father, so which I didn't know about until Monday morning. So I do know that the survey was returned to the school district from the parents. There's a good amount of interest in the summer program, and I guess I have to get back in touch with Natasha and Dr. Cook to find out when our next meeting would to maybe look at how what it's going to look like. Now that we know we have interest.
Catskill kicked off their first baseball game yesterday. So.
Yeah, I saw that. The field looks great. I'd like to publicly say a great job. The highway department, the volunteers, the fence company, everybody did it. Really making the park look good.
And yeah. We have a lot of different players in there. It's nice to bring in different partners, meaning the school. We had collegiate baseball through Ed Zupon's group and Kipsaki American Legion. They had a grant from the Wayne Speedberg grant from Green County that helped with that.
Did a great job fixing the parking lot.
Right, parking lot, we brought stone into the parking lot. We actually fixed the berm around the playground. There is in the works, we're going to bring in some more chips to put at the base of the playground to be open for this year. As soon as we got some members of the Fort Knightley Club are investigating that a little bit further because there might be certifications or special wood chips that are needed for that. Again, it's still a work in progress. We pushed the field back a little bit, so there's definitely some more field maintenance that has to take place, but we're heading in the right direction.
Is that progressive?
There you go.
There's room in that back right corner for this little basketball court.
So there's always room for more stuff to do, but yet.
And we do have to address the convenience. We have to gut that stand.
The concession stand?
Yeah.
Oh, and another big update was that we have for everybody that's here. We did have a company come in. They did scope of work, or they're working on the scope of work of what it's going to take to get our town hall repaired. They have contracts. The company's name is Gordian, and they have already contracts in place with contractors so we can piggyback off those contracts. So it's going to give us a really good idea, and I don't know what that time frame is. Hopefully it's only going to be a couple more weeks, but we'll get a little better understanding on what the cost factor is and the time frame to repair the back of our building and get the front of our building repaired. So there's a lot of A lot of things in the work, we just got to bring it all together. But
look closely, there's a lot of work to be done.
There certainly is a lot to do, but we're chiseling away at it, you know, a little bit at a time. Anything else that we should have discussions about tonight? Do you want to move forward with these, or do you want to sit on these changes, or do you want to enact these? You know, do you want to vote on the zoning changes? Oh, we got to do the seeker, Liz.
Yes.
Yeah, we got to do that. And do we want to, you know, wait a little bit on this, or do you want to set a public hearing on the franchise, or do we want to wait until our next meeting to do that on the Mid-Hudson and Cable?
We just set the public. I mean, we're not going to increase it because it just increases everybody's
price. No,
so I would just set the public hearing.
We can get a rough table. We can do that for Mid-Hudson and Naples.
Your next monthly meeting would be May 3rd.
May 3rd. Why don't you want to make a motion? We need a motion on it, or
April 20th is a rough day.
They requested May, actually, as well, through Mid-Hudson.
I think with franchise agreements, there's a different timeline also than regular public.
That I'm not sure. So you want to set it for May 3rd?
Yeah, we'll make a motion to set a public hearing for Mid-Hudson Cable's franchise agreement on May 3rd at 6:30 p.m. at Town Hall.
Second by Patrick. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those against? Motion so carried. I guess we should put it in a motion form as far as the final engineering amendment with Delaware Engineering. You know, that way it's going to be set for the EFC and through Municipal Solutions, and that's a group that handles and double checks the billing for our Jefferson Lead Sewer Project District. And this should be the last amendment change. Fingers crossed, we're moving forward with the closing. They'd like to have this thing kind of finalized before June, and then EFC and everybody would meet in September. So, again, seeing is believing in this particular thing.
But we have a month, but is it September this year, next year?
No, it's September 20th. It's a long, I mean, if you start going back on the history, it's 14s, and I'm cautiously optimistic, I'll put it that way. I'm not going to go out on any kind of limb any further than that, because it would be a dangerous perch, that's for sure. So we need a motion to make that change, Liz?
Yes.
Motion. Jared's motion. Jared, second it by Dawn. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those against? Motion so carried. Okay. I'm going to do that seeker form, I guess.
Yes. So this is the part two of the full environmental assessment form. There's 18 questions, and they go as so. Impact on the land. Proposed action may involve construction on or physical alteration of the land surface of the proposed site. No. Impact on geological features. The proposed action may result in the modification or destruction of or inhibit access to any unique or unusual landforms on the site. Example, cliffs, dunes, minerals, fossils, caves. The answer is no. Impacts on surface water. The proposed action may affect one or more wetlands or other surface water bodies. Example, streams, rivers, ponds, or lakes. The answer is no. Impact on groundwater. The proposed action may result in new or additional use of groundwater or may have the potential to introduce contaminants to groundwater or an aquifer. The answer is no. Impact on flooding. The proposed action may result in development on lands subject to flooding. The answer is no. Impacts on air. The proposed action may include a state-regulated air emission source. The answer is no. Impact on plants and animals. The proposed action may result in a loss of flora or fauna. The answer is no. Impact on agricultural resources. The proposed action may impact agricultural resources. The answer is no. impact on aesthetic resources. The land use of the proposed action are obviously different from or are in sharp contrast to current land use patterns between the proposed project and a scenic or aesthetic resource? The answer is no. Impact on historic and archaeological resources. The proposed action may occur in or adjacent to a historic or archaeological resource. The answer is yes. Part A of this question. The proposed action may occur wholly or partially within or substantially contiguous. Thank you. To any buildings, archaeological site, or district which is listed on the National or State Register of Historical Places, or that has been determined by the Commissioner of the New York State Office of Parks, Recreation, and Historic Preservation to be eligible for listing on the State Register of Historic Places? The answer is no. Or small impact may occur. The proposed action may occur wholly or partially within or substantially contiguous to an area designated as sensitive for archaeological sites on the New York State Historic Preservation Office, SHPO, archaeological site inventory. The answer is no, or small impact may occur. The proposed action may occur wholly or partially within or substantially contiguous to an archaeological site not included on the New York SHPO inventory. The answer is no, or small impact may occur. If any of the above are answered, moderate to large impact may occur. Continue with the following questions to help support conclusions in part three. The proposed action may result in the destruction or alteration of all or part of the site or property. No. The proposed action may result in the alteration of the proposed of the property's setting or integrity. No. The proposed action may result in the introduction of visual elements which are out of character with the site or property or may alter its setting. The answer is no. Question 11, impact on open space and recreation. The proposed action may result in a loss of recreational opportunities or a reduction of an open space resource as designed in any adopted municipal open space plan. The answer is no. Impact on critical environmental areas. The proposed action may be located within or adjacent to a critical environmental area. The answer is no. Impact on transportation. The proposed action may result in a change to existing transportation systems. The answer is no. Impact on energy. The proposed action may cause an increase in the use of any form of energy. The answer is no. Impact on noise, odor, and light. The proposed action may result in an increase in noise, odors, or outdoor lighting. The answer is no. Impact on human health. The proposed action may have an impact on human health from exposure to new or existing sources of contaminants. The answer is no. Consistency with community plans. The proposed action is not consistent with adopted land use plans. The answer is no. Consistency with community character. The proposed project is inconsistent with the existing community character. The answer is no. And that completes the part two of the full environmental assessment form.
Thank you, Liz. Appreciate it. Need a motion to declare a negative declaration on that?
Just to clarify, it's the post avenue sewer expansion, right?
No, this is to do with their building. The post avenue sewer district. Some of the parties couldn't be here tonight, so we decided, or they asked that we postpone that until our next meeting. So this, this is only for a negative deck.
On the zoning amendments.
I make a motion
by Jeremy.
You have to adopt the seeker and issue a negative deck.
I make a motion to adopt the seeker.
I'll second that.
Okay, initial. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those against, motion so carried.
And then I make a motion to declare negative impact.
Okay. I'll second that as well, Liz.
Okay.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Those against, that motion so carried as well. Okay. Just some of the highlights of the changes. I took a few notes. The process is going to be an easier flowing document for residents, people wishing to do projects, come to our community and build. There's a table of use, it's basically a flow chart, so you can say, okay, this happens to be on page 22.
But you can go to our document today, instead of having to go through a whole bunch of material, you can say, I'm in this particular zone, and this is what I'd like to do. And across that chart, there will be check marks along the way. So it's as a visual, it'll help everybody understand what's required, what can be done, and what cannot be done. So it's a very, it's a good thing. On the solar side, lot size, just people know large solar, 25% of the lot size is where we're at with that before. And this was started, solar, back in probably 2019. Kind of got stalled, then we went through COVID. And as we know, there's a lot of different solar projects coming to town, so it was very important that we, you know, worked on solar for sure. Setbacks, whatever the setbacks are going to be in certain locations, from that location is 120 additional feet. So we're going to have buffers from roads and hopefully protect some farmland, some visuals in and out in our country. Side, large scale solar, that one up to 20 kilowatt, and then as for roof mounts too. I think one of the bigger ones here is also a performance bond. Prior to adopting these new zoning changes, if a solar farm was out there or somebody had it in their backyard and then a year and a half went by and it wasn't used, it wasn't producing any additional electricity, there was no real vehicles in place to say, hey, you got to decommission that. So what ended up happening, if the town code officer went out and said, hey, it's got to be decommissioned, the company that ran the solar is no longer around. They got their money and they moved on, the investors are gone. So then it would fall on the property owner. And if the property owner walked away after the lease, then it would fall on the taxpayer. So the town council said, you got to decommission that. We hire contractors. We levy that amount of money on somebody's taxes, and then they don't pay it. Then the county makes, Green County would make the town of Catskill whole. But again, it's still taxpayer money that would be responsible for decommissioning a solar array. So that's a big step, making sure that somebody has their performance bond intact beforehand. And again, we could initiate that after 90 days without producing any electricity. So I think that's a plus. Also, when these are escrows, there's a mechanism or a process in place where if our planning zone or zoning board feels that they're going to need additional outside help from lawyers or engineer firms or what have you, again, that burden doesn't fall on the taxpayer. It's going to be on the project itself and those investors to pay for it. So again, it protects the taxpayer, and it also helps our planning and zoning board make good decisions on going through our codes and what's right for our community. So those are a couple steps there. Again, so a lot of this started with the village template because they already had one in place, and then we're not the village. We got much more land out there, so we started, we, the planning board and zoning board and all parties involved started, again, narrowing it down. We ended up not going on a yearly basis on the short-term rentals. Whenever you start in that quarter, it's that next quarter, a year from then, is when you're going to be due for another inspection, because it didn't seem feasible to have everything ending on December 31st, and then all of a sudden, out of the gate, we had 190 inspections that had to, so we wanted to space those throughout the year. Same thing on short-term rentals. Names and addresses are going to be available at these locations, and while the short-term rental is occupied, the owner or a representative for the owner has to be available by telephone at all times. And also on the same page, 30-minute ride by automobile, so you need somebody that can respond to that location within 30 minutes by vehicle. Property owner, property manager. So it's a really good protection for the, again, we got to provide a safe place when somebody comes to Catskill and they rent a short-term rental Airbnb or whoever's renting it. We have an obligation to make sure that they have a safe place to stay. And that's a lot what these changes are all about. Accessory apartments, before you could have an accessory apartment in the county of Catskill, an apartment over top of a garage, and that kind of works in with affordable housing. So now that's going to be permissible. subject to site plan review. You just can't go out and do it. It's going to be a two-bedroom maximum. And again, that's on page 48 if anybody wanted to look at those changes as well. But before, if your land wasn't subdividable, where you would have that separate structure, it wasn't a permissible thing to do. So now you can have a, you know, mom and dad needed to come to town, they were ill, needed a spot to stay, it's permissible to have that accessory apartment. So that we changed also. Escrow, we talked about that a little earlier with consultant fees, billboards. Right now, they're available anywhere in the town of Catskill, and now they're no longer to be in high-density residential, moderate-density residential, and in conservation areas. So it's not, we didn't eliminate billboards altogether, but we took them out of three zones that they were permissible with prior. So those are my highlights of what I've seen in the, with me reading the codes that were highlighted in red. Those are some of the high, you know, the key points that I thought were very important in those changes. That's all I got.
Speaking of code, where are we at with our software negotiations?
Right now, we've got that. He's got down to three, and it's really just about price. And again, with everything's going on, we certain people couldn't be here tonight, and they're not here because of. You know, but there's a certain uptick in the COVID protocols and stuff of that nature going on in our community. So, but we're very close. Let's make it a goal to get it for our next meeting to really get that wrapped up. Because now it's just about price. Because I kind of looked at the IPS with Matt. To me, it's you basically do the same thing, right? But the big item I feel is out there is being able to go out in the field with your back, your iPad or your tablet or what have you. I think that's a big plus.
So it should be a better workflow because now you're not having to take notes out there, come back here, and
take everything else.
Yeah. Right. So I like the ability to, for people to, you know, search their building permit, search their certificate of occupancy, and be able to apply for that. I personally think the biggest advantage to the one program is the town residents can apply for the building and do what I want. So it basically makes our code office available 24/7 for building permits.
Another component of that, I mean, I don't know if we're ready for that just yet, but I mean, Liz and I had a brief conversation about accepting credit cards, and you know, that's again something you can look at, you know, for the permits. And I mean, occasionally,
can we take that one?
Bitcoin is
going to
be in
there. And we had a little conversation with one of our local banks and we were in here as well. So, I mean, I think it could come in handy, even like, you know, some of this, you know, cemetery lot purchases. I mean, I had that question from a lady. She called me back today. She's family. She was from Catskill originally. They grew up in Schenectady. And she's got the U-Haul. She's not going back to Colorado Springs. But she would like to have paid her tabs, so to speak, on the credit card. So that's something that we can definitely investigate going forward. I think it's going to be a good customer service event by having taking credit cards. So, I mean, is everybody comfortable with moving forward with these changes tonight, or what's the thoughts on that?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I am as well. Yeah, and so would you do one, or?
No, I'd like to wait until the next meeting. I have some people that have expressed concerns, so I'd like to get back in touch.
And how did they find out about it? They were on a web page, or
I don't know.
You don't know.
Okay. They
specifically on short term rentals, or okay. So we can table that. You know, that's fair. I mean, everybody should have an ample opportunity to field questions, and maybe having a public hearing that a lot of people didn't attend tonight, maybe you'll get out there a little bit more. Maybe some additional concerns will come up that we can take under consideration. That, again, I don't know how much more we can do. I mean, I think it's out there. I mean, it's been, I've seen things are all around, you know, on the site.
We've all been out of paper.
We've all been out of paper, so I think it's, but I'm more than comfortable, like Mr. Rizzo said earlier, it's a big change. I don't know if it's a big change, but there are changes that are going to be around for a long time, so you want to make sure, you know, people understand it, and like with any change, there's going to be people that think they're a great thing, and there's probably going to be, you know, somebody that may not think it's a great thing. I mean, so we, you know, we're finding what's right and what's safe for everybody, and you know, sometimes people have their own little niches carved out over here or over there, but that doesn't mean, you know, that's right or wrong, I guess.
Well, we also have to keep in mind the living down.
Right.
The solar model will change again, because the more advanced the technology is, the more kilowatts are going to be produced.
Right.
So, like my new system, the new one that comes out next year may produce 5 kilowatts more, so now we may have a roof mounted system that produces 25,000.
And that's why we went up to 20 on the
yeah, so these are all
because just
it's the technology, because technology is going to change things as time comes.
I mean, you guys want to get more weight, or you want to, I mean,
I'm going to suggest waiting for Paul, but this way it's a full board.
Yeah.
Okay, and I'm fine. And that way, if there's any other questions, you know, our town attorney, if he could attend tonight as well. So, I mean, if he would, you know, if there was, again, I think we were all very on top of, you know, most, I can't say everybody, I don't know everything in every document, but I, you know, I follow the process throughout. I've done a little homework, a lot of homework. I've checked out many, many, many municipalities and saying, hey, does that fit Catskill? That doesn't. So we cherry picked all around to come up with these documents, and so did our planning, and so did our zoning. So this isn't what, you know, something you just said we're going to do. There's been a lot of hard work in this document. So it's not, I don't want
any. Well, some of these things are planning board been asking for help on for years.
Correct. So, I mean, these, I mean, this has been going on. I mean, in 2019, I went to every planning board. So I kind of got a good understanding. Patrick's on the village planning board. He has a great understanding on these documents as well. So I just want to let everybody know that we did our due diligence and we worked hard as a group on this. It just isn't a spur of the moment. Okay. So that's all I have. And Ms. Margaret, would you have anything you'd like to add tonight? Or
no.
No? Okay. Joe, any additional comments?
The last one?
That I'll entertain a motion to close the meeting unless we got our motion by Jared, seconded by Dawn. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those against? Motion so carried.